Well, hello everyone. This is Stunker in the Audio 476? 467? You know, just sort of start, I should already know this. 467, I am Jeremy. I am not used to starting these shows off. So, Kevin is on retreat building Stunker in the Studios again in his new Columbus abode. So, it's just me and Chris this evening, and we got done watching SmackDowns. But first, after this really terrible intro, what's going on, Chris?
Oh, not a heck of a lot there, Jeremy. I'm in the same old studio basement I'm always in, and looks like you are too. Kevin is on this journey to a new home ownership that seemingly has taken countless hours and days of his life. This whole process is seemingly gone on a very long time, but we are, of course, very happy for Kevin and his new home.
Yeah, it's about time, because it, I mean, obviously won't give any details, but there were times when I was really wondering if this thing was even going to go through, but I couldn't tell him that. So if he listens to this, right. Well, you know. But so when you already have like two people that are already like on edge about something happening, you don't sit there and go, "Yeah, man, I totally see your point." They could just like, "No, you don't do that." So,
no.
PSA for everyone: if your friends are worried about something, that's not like life threatening, mind you. Shut up, and just kind of support them. So, anyways, we are here to talk about some wrestling. Boy, the weekend sucked. We'll just get into the deaths, I guess. You know, it's be morbid to begin the show. It's always a smart idea. Nikolai Volkov passed away, and then, was it Sunday? Brian Lawler, better known as Brian Christopher to most of us, one half of Too Cool, something he always tried to avoid, Jerry Lawler's son, hung himself in his jail cell and was rushed to the hospital where he was non-responsive. And then once Jerry got there, they actually had to pull the plug. He was 46. Or was it 47? One of the two. Regardless, that's way too young. Because that's 2 years older than me. Possibly three, depending if I got the age wrong. And that was more shocking than Nikolai Volkov, because to me, this is no disrespect, he always looked old. He always looked older than he was. So, I don't know. Obviously, I can't ask you what you think, because it would be pretty stupid. I'm pretty happy it all died. Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Well, some people have expressed that thought.
Yeah. We can get that in a second, yeah. But yeah.
We'll get that. But no. Can't even imagine it, that no one should go that way, hanging from a jail cell. Ugh, I just, you know, awful. I mean, obviously he's had problems for years. You know, the last 10, 15 years of his life, he's, you know, been in out of jail, and in and out of, you know, I don't know if he's been in and out of rehab, but certainly in and out of jail. There's incidents about him, you know, seem to pop up a few times a year. I know it was brought up that he was let go from WWE the first time. Well, probably really the only time, other than a couple of other guest spots. He's been gone from WWE for about 17 years.
Yeah, he showed up, was it WrestleMania 27 time? Where he did the famous, I don't like being your son or whatever.
Yeah, he did that with Lawler. He probably did. They did a one or two Too Cool reunions at some of the Nostalgia Raws. And then there was the NXT deal where they were on the first NXT network special where Too Cool faced the Ascension.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's a match that has happened, folks.
Man, it's funny. You think about Too Cool now. They were the shit back then.
That act got over incredible. Now everyone keeps something that people keep bringing up is that 10-man tag in Dallas and from 2000. Mm-hmm. Every single person that, now granted that it was, you know, more, you know, Scotty's gimmick of doing the big clap, but I'll never forget that as long as I live. I mean, yeah, in that Too Cool act, he was probably the third banana or the third wheel in that act.
But he was there. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand you saying that though, but he had the coolest stuff. Like Scotty had the big crowd pop with the worm, but Brian Christopher had, you know, puts the goggles on, defogs him or like shines him up, and does the leg drop from the top rope. And then he also had that idiotic laugh that was annoying as hell.
Oh yeah, for me with Brian Christopher is I don't know the timeline of when you moved away from the Detroit area, but I remember in the early to mid 90s, USWA would come on and off a local TV. So I watched quite a bit of early Brian Christopher stuff between, say, 93 and 97.
Okay.
It was one of those UHF channels that was still around, and actually it's still around today. Channel 38 it was.
Okay. They're what, CW now?
No, it's just an independent station now.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's always kind of been an independent station, but it's played so much this is getting off on a little side tangent, but it played a lot of wrestling. Like every night at 7 p.m. weeknights, there was a different wrestling promotion on. So it was like USWA, Smoky Mountain, ECW, Global in its dying days. They played reruns of Herb Abrams' UWF. And it was just some off the wall shit. It was awesome, especially at that time period where the WWF and WCW products weren't exactly lighting the world on fire. So yeah, but no, but to get back to the original point, I saw a lot of like early Brian Christopher stuff, and he was, you know, a good heel in that, you know, Memphis mold, you know, maybe not entirely trying to be his dad, but, you know, you could tell the influence was there. A point that was made by many is that if the territories had never died, he would have been a star in Memphis, you know, pretty much his entire career.
Well, he could have, but then, I mean, I don't know like his financial situation, obviously, but I wonder what his money was like as Too Cool, because that was a big gimmick. Then, you know, they're with Rikishi, and that was back when, like, the mid-card guys had heat on them. You know, there was, like, something to the mid-card guys. They weren't just thrown out there willy-nilly to have a match or stand around a locker room, you know?
Well, you know, Too Cool got over on such a lark. Mm-hmm. It was fairly organic, you know, how it all came out. I mean, I remember the first time I ever saw Rikishi, you know, doing the Yokozuna tribute act and, you know, using Yokozuna's moves, and I think he even did like the sit down butt splash, the running sit down butt splash, like Earthquake. So it was just like, what the hell is this? And is this Fatu? Has he gained 200 pounds? What the hell is going on here? You know, and then it seemed like the dumbest thing in the world to put them together, but somehow it all clicked with the three of them.
Well, I mean, they put Brian Christopher with Scott Taylor, for God's sake.
Well, and you know? They were originally supposed to be the first, you know, mainstream wrestling gay act until they put the kibosh on that really quick, and then they kind of floundered until they did the white boy. They didn't rap themselves, but the white boy rap lovers, you know, gimmick, and like they were actually from the street, and you know, yeah. And once again, it was one of those things that. It shouldn't have worked. You know, it maybe wouldn't have. It wouldn't even work all that well today. But back then, when they got to get together with Rikishi, it just took off. And yeah, I'm sure that they sold some merchandise. They had some. They had some good matches. I mean, those in that era. I mean, that is the era where it became true, and it still holds true today. If you put about six guys or more in a ring in WWE, it's almost guaranteed to be entertaining. It's almost impossible to not have an entertaining six-man tag, especially if you need to fill some TV time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on that note, don't forget, what was the first time the Shield and the Wyatt family, how incredible that match was.
Yeah.
And then just quickly, just, you know, what happened happened with all of them. But I don't know. I was very, I'm not, sad's not the correct word, but just down when I heard this. Like, damn. Because, and this is the morbid part, there hasn't been a young wrestler death in a while. And yes, I consider 46 young. I mean, that's kind of lost on you when you're in your 20s. Because some people, hopefully for most, that's just halfway, if not, you know, less than halfway through your life already. And
not in my family genetics, but your point well taken.
Dude, I got 40, 50 years left. So, although the way I run sometimes, I'm like, I don't know.
Not. We'll see. But yeah, but, no, I get what you mean. No, 46 is it's way too young. Yeah. And the last, probably the last death of that nature was China, I would say. But no, we don't get those young deaths anymore. And it's obviously a positive thing. But you still got those people living that old lifestyle. They refuse to admit they have a problem, and they won't let it go. And it sucks. It's awful for his family. I can't imagine how Jerry Lawler feels. I mean, they had from all indications, they had a complicated relationship.
Yeah.
His dad, Jerry never, was never probably the best father. He never really wanted to be a father. He's to this day lives his life as like the world's oldest teenager, at least as far as some of his interests, in particular women. But it's the man still lost his son, and awful. And Meltzer brought this up in his Observer Radio on the death, and it's just like Jerry decided that this time he wasn't going to bail him out of jail.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard the same show. And yeah, that's when you know. I mean, it's because I know the same audio Meltzer detailed like his history with abuse problems, whatever. I mean, I don't want to borderline ill of the dead, especially in this kind of case, because he was only hurting himself. I know, like, physically he was only hurting himself. Mentally, obviously, he was hurting people around him. So it's not like he was a total dick, like, you can actually make the argument good. I'm glad they're gone. That's how I think. But it's rough when, because didn't he say in that audio that if he stayed clean for a year, he may be able to get him a job in the performance center? Or something like that.
Yeah.
And he couldn't that. I mean.
Yeah, no. He just, he couldn't for more than a few months at a time. Yeah, that's what was said. Yeah, it was just,
Yeah, it's just a sad situation. I mean, it's funny because I remember the early days of doing these shows that it was, well, this guy died this week. Well, this guy died this week. Oh, a special week. We got 2-for-1 this week. Like, just stuff like that. So, like, when something like this happens now, it's like, well, shit. It's kind of a surprise, and I guess I'm not used to talking about him anymore. And also, it's like, he wasn't exactly a dick or anything. So, there'd be plenty of people that die that we can probably sit there and question. Or, like, talk ill of them. But, unlike some who just, I don't know, is there a problem between New Jack and Jerry Lawler that I'm not aware of?
I have no idea. I don't know. I mean, Lawler, they would have possibly crossed paths on indies over the years. There was that brief period where Lawler was doing shots at the ECW arena, for ECW, and particularly at the ECW arena.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, plenty of allegations around Lawler in his lifetime about younger women, underage girls, being a racist or what have you. There's plenty of reason for someone maybe to dislike the guy. Obviously, New Jack is probably not the right person to go moralizing about anybody.
Uh-huh.
Either.
Yes. But yeah, for those who don't know, and I don't know if it's even worth mentioning, but we're already into it. Basically, I'm trying to find the exact quote. I'm trying to get better about having that instead of, you know, saying, hey, I think this is what he said. On New Jack's Facebook page, this might not sit too well with some y'all, and I could get less than two fucks. Could get less than two fucks? I think he might give. Anyways, but I wrestled in USWA with Brian Christopher in 92, and he was a very little disrespectful fucker then.
30 years almost.
So, fuck him and fuck his daddy. For those who don't like my post, fuck you too. That, like...
Oh, that wasn't even the worst one.
Oh, that's the only one I saw. Is there more?
I found the worst one that says that Jerry should just go join his dead son.
Wow. Yeah.
And then there was the tweet from Sabu saying, basically, fuck him, I'm glad he's dead.
Holy
so
shit.
So those ECW guys,
you know,
not a fan of the Lawlers.
Well, you know, here's something simple with those two. What's the common thread with Sabu and New Jack other than being in ECW?
Druggies?
Yeah. Substance abuse, whatever you want to say. And so, you know, I'm not exactly taking their word for anything other than, wow, these two are fucked in the head.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But, so there's always one. It's just kind of funny that, not funny, mind you, but it's always kind of weird to see who does what.
Yeah, well, yeah. Someone, no one has had a bad word to say since his passing, though, Nikolai Volkoff.
Yeah.
That came out of nowhere, but can't say it's hitting me because it's been so long since he was an important part of my wrestling viewing, and you could kind of argue that he was at the the tail end of his run was when I was coming of age, so the big stuff was definitely not so much in my wheelhouse, but obviously one of the more memorable characters of that 80s Saturday Night's Main Event, you know, era. Wrestling's on NBC. Everyone's, you know, seemingly everyone's watching at least a little bit. Everyone kind of knows who, you know, the top guys are in WWF. Yeah, and, you know, he was right there. And for all indications, a great guy, someone who was always welcome in locker rooms. That's why he stuck around for so long. I looked at his career on the Cage Match database, and it lists his first match as being in 1968.
Crazy.
And his last match was probably this year. But I think it was this year. So a 50-year career for a 70-year-old guy. That's pretty amazing. And his time on top or near the top would have been in the realm of 15 to 20 years, because he started main eventing main eventing in the early 70s with the Soviet gimmick. So.
Yeah, it was funny. That was a gimmick he didn't like and didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And then he was basically told, look, you can make money off of this. And then he kind of turned it into, you know, I can show people how terrible these people are. For those who don't know, he was I almost said fugitive. He was a refugee. And he knew from a young age he had to get out, and he did it. And what he, went to the Canadian embassy, if I remember reading right. I didn't know this stuff. Just like I didn't know a lot about Bruno Sammartino either until his passing, and they did that whole story about him. And, you know, with his mom sneaking out to get food and all that. And then Nikolai Volkov isn't exactly the same, mind you, but it's still another guy in a communist area, war-torn, whatever else, that gets out. So I just remember him always being old, though. Him and the Iron Sheik, which is great that they put them as a tag team, because I never took them seriously. And I just, you know, you missed it. Because remember, who did they beat? It was the U.S. Express or whatever, Wyndham and Rotunda, were the tag team champions. And I had never seen that match before. I mean, obviously I have now. But when I saw it was Barry Wyndham and Mike Rotunda, I'm like, the guy from the Varsity Club and the guy fighting the Four Horsemen? I'm like, they were a tag team. That's crazy. And then these two old coots beat them. and then they're never seen again. Like, this is strange. And then after they kind of broke up, Nikolai kind of disappeared for a while, right?
No, it was after Sheik got arrested with Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
Then Volkov was... Well, that's when they brought in Boris Zhukov.
That's right.
The Bolsheviks. Yeah, it was Sheik who was gone away. Yeah.
Great.
The Bolsheviks were never pushed seriously.
No. Because they were kind of... It was also past that time, too.
Yeah.
But then he became what? He was part of the Million Dollar Man's Corporation?
That was after he'd been gone. Well, that was his babyface turn where he started saying he loves America and mm-hmm. teaming with Jim Duggan. But that was really just... He was really just being set up to, get destroyed by Sergeant Slaughter, on the house show loop before he moved. So that was really well done, how he went from Volkov to Duggan to Hogan. That actually, as far as up the patriotic guy ladder, that was it was tasteless as hell, but it was well done in that respect.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember because he came back and he had hair, and that always threw me off.
Oh yeah, that was weird. I mean, I do remember that now. It's good. Yeah. There was this weird period where him and Lou Albano and the Fabulous Moolah would just be front row ringside at every show.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was that era where they were just filming in the Northeast in small buildings because business was in the shits. and he would wear that same red suit that they would say is... because he's poor, it's his only red suit, and he'd been wearing that red suit since Tuesday Night Titans 10 years earlier.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yeah, just what was that? That tacky ass jacket he had when he was part of the Million Dollar Man's. It wasn't a corporation. What the hell were they called?
It was a corporation. It was a Million Dollar Corporation. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, it was a corporation. Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he even had a jacket. He just had a shirt with a cent sign on it.
I'm sorry. That's what it was. Yes, with a dollar sign on it. That's so bad. As much as I really hate the production right now of WWE, how they do their camera angles and stuff, there's a certain, looking back on it now, that there's a certain innocence back then, like how goofy the stuff is. And that's one of them. Like, that actually made TV. That's just silly. We can go into, like, modern wrestling now. On the note of nostalgia, I'm missing the reasons why, but why did they play Mr. Perfect and on Monday, and then on Tuesday they played the Million Dollar Man? Why are they playing those old vignettes? I'm confused.
Because Sonic is the classic American drive-through, so it's, we're showing classic wrestling clips. I guess that's the connection.
Oh, okay. I honestly didn't know if I missed something.
Drive-in, I mean. I guess that's the connection.
Well, okay. Well, see, here's one problem with that. They're reminding the older generation of how fun that stuff used to be. And then we get Baron Corbin. Or SmackDown, I guess, wasn't too bad with that. But then you get, like, Mojo Rawley, and everyone's standing around. You're like...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where are the characters? And I've been talking to Kevin about this. There's really no character development going on right now, at least on Raw. So Roman Reigns, he's the big dog, all right? Well, what's that mean? I mean, what is he? Other than the guy that whines about someone having a better contract than him. There's nothing to it. Like, Seth Rollins claims to be the best. Well, so does Dolph Ziggler. I mean, there's nothing... There hasn't been anything special. Like, Brock Lesnar showed the most of, like, anything. Like, he's just a selfish psychopath, basically.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Raw, in between the Lesnar stuff, was just all filler, basically. Yeah, I... As I told you over IM, it's... I fell asleep a few times because Raw was, and I was tired too, but yeah. Raw was just, I'm saying, outside of the Lesnar stuff, there was nothing to captivate you or hold your interest on this Raw.
No, it's like, because I haven't watched it yet, so I can be corrected, and that's fine. But it looked like they were, like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to take a little bit back. Elias has a character. He's the delusional musician that happens to wrestle. Why, we don't know, but that's what it is. And, I mean, they've got, he has an album out. They did a documentary, which, to that preview, looked like a mockumentary. I plan on watching it tomorrow.
I think it is more of like a mockumentary. I haven't watched it yet. I will soon. But yeah, no, you're right. Elias has a character, but then they put him in a feud with Bobby Lashley, who doesn't have a character.
Okay, I was actually fine with that.
Oh, okay.
I was fine with it. Bobby Lashley comes out and goes, I was just minding my own business until you decided to bring my name up. And I'm like, makes sense. Okay. And then Elias goes, well, do you want to sing with me? And my first thought was, he better bitch slap this guy and be the killer he's supposed to be. Instead, they have him sing Rockin' Robin. Now, for the kids who don't know, there used to be music before 2000, and this song dates back to 1958. This is clearly, and I hate doing stuff like this, this has Vince McMahon all over it. Rockin' Robin? Are you out of your fucking mind? You can't come up with something, anything, from 1980, let alone 1958? Was there like some tie-in to, like, where were they last night? Miami?
Miami, yeah. There would be no tie-in to Miami.
Okay, yeah, that's what... No. I mean, not with Rockin' Robin. Oh, yeah, that's actually what I meant, was if there was, but... Holy God, I couldn't believe that. And then to have Bobby Lashley actually singing along with it. Like, going along and being happy about it. I'm staring at the TV dumbfounded. Like, this isn't going to actually happen, is it? Sure enough, Elias hits him, and I'm like, okay... Even if Bobby Lashley wanted to be a dick about it, sang along, and Elias was like, all right, cool, like kind of like fending for himself, then the segment makes sense. But by having Elias attack him, it just makes Bobby Lashley look like a fucking moron. Like, why would he trust this guy? If the guy was just calling you out, why are you trying? It's just... I'm trying not to be too down on WWE because I am right now, and this just seemed like one of the indicators of it. Lashley turned the corner from that goofy shit that was going on with Sami Zayn, with his sisters and all that stuff. He had the Roman Reigns feud, or I guess mini feud, and you're like, here we go. This is, I dare say this, TNA Bobby Lashley. And now it's just this, like, what? Why? What?
I agree. Maybe it wasn't as bad that Bobby Lashley entered the picture, but yes, everything you described, it was really bad. It plays to all of Bobby Lashley's weaknesses, none of his strengths, I guess Bobby Lashley versus Elias is fine. I don't know if what it does for either of them, though. There's things here and there about, are they building up Elias for The Rock? Even if it's just a promo segment, a Dueling Guitars promo segment. But that still might be a ways off, so it's just like, what do you do with him in the interim? Of course, then the first question is, what do you do with him afterward? Because he's not coming out on top in that. But, I mean, it's something to do. I mean, SummerSlam already has a lot of matches announced and more that more to come to be announced. You know, it's a match that will add nothing to an already long show.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I'm looking up for return dates to Miami. I was curious.
We also got to look at L.A. He's done New York before too. Which obviously we're coming to New York, so.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the Rock. He can be wherever they want, so never mind. It's pointless.
Right.
But I thought the same thing, that they were setting up something with the Rock. It makes sense. I'm just surprised. I mean, not too surprised, because Triple H said that Elias was always going to be a main roster act. But the faith that they put in this guy, like, you put him in segments like this. He's been featured relatively, regularly since coming up. And, I mean, this is not a criticism of him either. This is a criticism of bad writing, which that's all WWE really does. Like, he at least has a character. To get back on track, I guess. I'm trying to think of who else does. Baron Corbin's the guy that abuses power, I guess.
He's the constable.
But then he doesn't have to cheat to win matches.
Agreed. No. That was bad. That was a boring match. It was one-sided. It went three segments. Balor barely got anything, and then Corbin just won, and then he kicked his ass after the match. No, that was some bad stuff. I guess if we're going to do Reigns versus Corbin, you know, down the line in the next couple of weeks on Raw, fine. But that could have just been a one-segment match.
Wait, did you mean to say Roman Reigns?
Yeah. Well, Roman Reigns did punch him in the face.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. But don't do that. And I told Kevin, I was like, I don't do this normally, but fantasy booking, you have Corbin cheat to win that thing. You don't have him just go over easy. You don't have him go over without some sort of peril or whatever. You sure as shit don't have him beat him. It made no sense to beat him up after the match unless Finn's leaving, which that won't be known until the end of the year anyways. No, or was his the end of the year?
I don't think Finn's leaving. I don't think it's Finn. No. Nakamura and Styles are the end of the year.
And then the...
And Gallows and Anderson. But honestly, who cares at this point about them?
Yeah, unfortunately. that's a huge... Blew that one. But anyways... Yeah. I can't remember the scenario, but it worked a lot better. And, just have... What my thing was is have Kevin Owens beat Braun Strowman by DQ, count out, whatever, have Kevin Owens get the briefcase. Whoever they decide to have win at SummerSlam, now you're like, well, Kevin Owens isn't cashing in on Lesnar or Reigns for that matter, but have him try to cash in. Boom. Strowman interferes in that. Kevin Owens doesn't win it. So you got the champion, and let's say it's Brock, for the hell of it. He's out there bragging. Finn comes out and is like, I never got my shot. And Lesnar blows him off. Finn beats him. Lesnar can go off to the UFC if he wants to. Then you got an immediately built-in feud with Corbin and Finn Balor over the title. I know it's not ideal. I'm just saying. At least this all makes sense somehow. He's like, well, you know, I was the last one that beat you. You didn't even deserve this title shot, but Angle gave it to you anyways. You know, something like that. And then you can just go back to Roman or whoever. Or Braun Strowman can beat him, and you can still get to your Strowman-Reigns match for New York. That took 5 minutes to come up with. And that was typing. It wasn't even that difficult. But yet instead we just get boring Corbin winning, and then whatever. Is it almost like a dead horse to even just rag on Baron Corbin anymore?
Oh, it absolutely is. Although, he does look better now. He does look better. I will give him that, finally.
Okay. This is aesthetics, alright? He needs to tan up. You already got one pasty guy with bad hair. Aiden English on SmackDown. So, you know, it's... I guess he looks better. I don't know. He could have just gone with a little bit shorter hair, just let it hang over his face. And I mean, because why does he... Really, with that, with who he is, or was at the time, why did he have to look better, you know? Like, why not have the Motley thing? So I guess, like, a corporate version of him. All right, shaving his head, making him look more presentable is fine. But it doesn't change what he is in the ring. And I know our friend Cam was real high on him, like, talking to him, listening to him, but it's not translating. And he's had work with really good people, and it's not translating. It's not getting anywhere. So...
No. He's had multiple opportunities to have good matches with top talent, and there's something that it's missing in the ring.
Yeah, and that's
more than on the mic, and more than on the mic, and you know. But yeah, it's but they're just gonna keep giving the guy chances. I've never totally gotten their thing with him. He's not that tall. He's not that impressive looking in general.
No.
His talking is okay when he's kind of more in his environment, in an environment that plays to his strengths, but still no more than anyone else.
Right.
Who's better in the ring, and also who can adapt better to WWE's septic, you know, promo, you know, backstage promo style and the in-ring with the microphone in your hand for way too long.
It was funny, Kevin. I can't remember what the context was, but he said something. I was like, oh, because I went back to cable. Because the DirecTV Now app, just I had enough. It kept locking up. So their only support is on Twitter. So you tweet them, hey, I'm having a problem. And they would just tell you, hey, reset it, uninstall it, reinstall it, sign it. And it happened so many times. And that didn't work. It was always on their end. So we just went back to cable. So I was just telling Kevin that. And he goes, oh, so are you going to uncomfortably watch it from the side? And I was like, what do you mean uncomfortable? Every room in my house is sideways to the TV. It makes it so much easier to watch it. The entire style, like, maybe Corbin would be better. Maybe Finn would be better. Maybe all of these guys would be better if they just let them do their thing. I know this is not new ground. This is not new territory, but it's not getting better. And it's really becoming obvious and obnoxious. Like, the overuse of words, phrases, or... I can't remember whose... Was it one of the Riot Squad? It was one of the women talking about the path of destruction they're going to... I'm like, you're 120 pounds. What are you talking about? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So, no, it's just... no one talks like a real person. And the promos where someone comes in the ring and just stands... Like, the Mojo Rawley thing. I understand what they're going for. And to be frank, he's not too bad. That little asshole-ish character he's doing... I think works way better than what he was doing before.
Oh yeah, he's definitely better off. But it's still gonna take a lot for me to take him seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Really, I mean, I guess give him his promo time. Give him a win over someone like Bobby Roode, who they've obviously given up on.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
He was only in the jobber's locker room.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah. Just let Mojo have that win. Do not do a two or three. Just do not do a back and forth 50-50 feud. Just have Mojo win. If you're in the Mojo Rawley business, fully invest in the Mojo Rawley business. Mm-hmm. They obviously see nothing in Roode, which is unfortunate, but whatever. So just pick Rawley and have him win. And don't be thinking, well, we might do something with Bobby. We don't want to completely kill him, so we'll give him one win over Rawley. But Rawley will get two. No, we saw him lose once.
That was something that That's something Meltzer pointed out. Bad time to take a bite, by the way. if you win on a pay-per-view, you lose the next time out. Every single time. And I never actually noticed that before. So when Corbin beat Finn this time, I was like, well, yeah, of course he did. And it's very strange how things are written. It's no one, and I know this isn't new ground, but I don't get on the shows very often, but it's like, no one gets ahead. Roman Reigns is pushed to the moon and or gets the time, I mean, they had that video package in the beginning of Raw this week to where that made him look like he had the greatest match on the face of the earth with Bobby Lashley. And the fans were totally on his side. Fans were all, dude. And I'm sitting there going, I don't remember it like that. I mean, they got the crowd into him at the end, but okay. But no one gets anywhere. Like, the most over guy was Lesnar. Yeah, maybe AJ Styles. Because even John Cena still had that back and forth heat. Or back and forth reaction, I should say. But I mean, no one really gets anywhere. And I think that's just, I think it's terrible to begin with. But, and it's terrible that no one sees that.
No, I'm not going to argue with you there. No, no. Here's the thing. Roman Reigns wins at SummerSlam. There's no surprise cash in, nothing. He goes into Raw the next day as the champion. Who does he face that he hasn't faced already? Who is being built up? As you said, who is being moved? Who is being moved forward here?
I'm thinking. All right. Lashley would be one. And yes, I know that they're trying to put him with Elias. But Lashley's one because they're 1-1. You know, so you got a challenger there. Hasn't Roman and Finn fought a bunch of times? And even, like, the point of one of them was the fact that Finn didn't get his rematch. He's never gotten his rematch.
Yeah, oh yeah. They've actually done a number of Roman Reigns Finn back.
Yeah.
More than you think they would have, since they've both been baby faces this whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've done a number of those matches on Raw. I mean, Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman's been done to death. Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Reigns has, while not being the champion for over 2 years, has still, because, you know, the champion's been either he was challenging Kevin Owens for the title. Then this whole Brock thing, where Brock was rarely around, but, you know, Roman's match was almost always pushed as the main event. So he's faced all the heels on Raw already.
You can't. Dean. I guess
Dean Ambrose.
Dean for some reason.
You could go there. But I think they'll put them. I think them. They'll put them all back together. At least at first, they probably should put them all back together at first before you turn one of them. But then, you know. I guess Corbin, he's never wrestled yet, but they're going to do that match. They might do that match on Raw.
Okay, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Elias, they haven't. I don't believe they've done a one-on-one Roman Reigns Elias match. But which, yeah, what Mojo Raw? Then you start getting. Then you do start getting a Mojo Rawley. It's like.
Well, I'm curious with the state of NXT right now, and we won't know for a while, but. Yeah, because TakeOver's Chicago. Wait, no. When's the next TakeOver? Is that Chicago? Or is it
Brooklyn.
LA?
Brooklyn.
Sorry. I was trying to remember where SummerSlam was. Because wasn't SummerSlam in LA for a few years?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm still plugged into that. But yeah, it's been in Brooklyn the last three. So I'm curious to see, you know, spoilers, kids, how. Because I'm guessing that the championship match for the NXT is going to be a triple threat, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a big spoiler. No.
Well, I wasn't sure if they announced it on TV or not yet. So, I mean, it's only been a week, you know, by TV tapings. But if we want to talk about what's good about WWE,
that last NXT show. Oh yeah, that. That hit me right in a good spot.
I'm just curious about Aleister Black now. do they need him there or not? Or is it, all right, we got to get him out of here because we are logjam now. And they've introduced that North American title. And the weird angle that they have running with that now is, well, you don't defend it against anyone worth a damn. And you go, well, damn, poor Wolfgang. I mean, that's pretty rough. But, I mean, they got Ricochet. They've got the Dream, Velveteen Dream, excuse me. Lars Sullivan, whenever he comes back. I just lost a bunch of people. Anyways, you got Adam Cole, if they want to do that. So they've got a logjam for top spots, along with Ciampa and Gargano, who, all right, where do they fit on the main roster? I mean, Ciampa's awesome.
Well, they're both awesome.
Yeah.
But the second they get on that main roster, they're going to be picked apart for their height.
Uh-huh.
That's what's going to happen. They're not going to be able to do what they... I mean, as a vanity promotion, you know, for Triple H, it's great stuff, but almost nothing has translated onto the main roster the way that it should have. And Gargano and Ciampa, yeah, I don't foresee a great future for them. So I think you keep them on NXT for a while. Black, see, I'm not that high on Aleister Black, to be honest.
Really, that's interesting.
I don't really get the gimmick. I don't get what he's supposed to be. Then again, I have the same problem, say, with Ember Moon. Like, are you? What are you? I'm just talking about Aleister. It's like,
yeah.
Are you a vampire? What are you supposed to be? And then in the ring, he's really good. But I don't know. For me, it's just something's missing. I'm probably the one who's wrong. But I said, he's definitely somebody. If you put him on the main roster, who knows? Maybe it would work better.
Okay, so here's an unpopular opinion, and it's an ageist thing as well. It's time to trim some old fat. And I know that this is a star-driven business, all right? Admittedly, never been a huge Randy Orton fan. I like him now because he's just being a dick. It's like, I don't know. It's my personality, I suppose. But this stuff with him beating down poor Jeff Hardy, oof.
That was the best stuff on SmackDown tonight.
Well, and last week too, doing the putting his finger through the ear hole.
Oh yeah.
Ugh. That's disgusting. Even though it's
disgusting,
a heel.
And then this week he waterboarded him.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking during that. One, wow, that's a dick move. Two, that's a real dick move because how long did Jeff Hardy spend putting that stuff on to wear it for 5 minutes? I've always thought that even with Goldust, when he would wrestle those 3-minute matches, but even his wasn't as intricate as Jeff's was. I mean, I'm sure he's got it down to a science now, but still, man. I mean, you know, Randy Orton, I mean, it kind of goes in the face of what I wanted to say, but it's time to trim some of this fat away. And SmackDown doesn't have enough time for all the people they have. Like we were talking about before we started, AJ Styles wasn't even on the show, which he doesn't need to be. You know, your champion doesn't have to be there all the time. I also don't mind, like, the stars not wrestling as long as they make an appearance. Unless it's the New Day, because their appearances are getting
it's getting a little long in the tooth now.
Like,
it's getting bad. I mean, I don't even know what they were doing. They never explained how you could listen to them to whatever they were doing there. It's very long in the tooth at this point.
Yeah, and what's weird is they were cool before, just being themselves, and now they're just coming out like clowns, basically.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They've upped the childish antics, but that's not how you get the children.
But it's like, is that even childish antics? It's just, I mean, I guess depending on your view of kids,
yeah,
are,
I guess,
but it's just,
yeah. I mean, what were they even doing every time the camera went to them? They were just doing stupid things. It just,
all right,
that was not the gimmick. They've taken it too far to the ridiculous.
Knowing how this company likes to rib people, though, I always wonder if that's like a rip on the NXT guys. Because remember they had that whole thing where they had a camera on Mauro going crazy during spots and all that. I'm wondering if that was supposed to be a shot at him, or like shot at like that stuff.
I don't know. I don't really see it. But who knows? I don't. Once again, it's just like, what are they doing out there?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting at, though.
Is there somewhere we can listen to this? What are they even doing besides just, you know? Once again, I know a number of people who, when they see New Day for the first time, they just think it's stupid. And it's based on the way that they've been portrayed over the past year, not counting the stuff with the Usos. Because that's different. But
yeah.
When you see them when you see them do their routine, and as it's gotten sillier and sillier, it's almost a detract. I think it's almost becoming a detraction to people.
Okay, so here you made a good point, because you said when they were with the Usos, that was them being cool. That was them like using like their actual, let me make sure I say this right, like using their actual personalities for their character promo. Like if you watch Up Up Down Down with Xavier, like Big E will be on it, Kofi will be on it. They're cool guys. They're nice dudes. You get it. But lately, what they've been doing, just, it's not cool anymore.
No, I mean, it really started with the pancake stuff. That was a 1 week joke that's now been spread for about 9 months.
What is the thing? I asked Shahid this, and he didn't know. What's with the pancakes? I mean, dead serious. Like, I don't know where or why this became a thing. Other than if they don't have a pancake mix out, or frozen pancakes, New Day frozen pancakes or whatever, then someone's definitely dropping the ball. I mean, they took him a while for Bootios, but you know,
to get into the whole pancake thing, you got to talk about, you know, racist cartoons from like the 1920s. You know,
is that what it is?
I don't know if that's what it is for them.
Oh, okay.
But that's, I mean, obviously, you know, the whole old Aunt Jemima thing and all that. I mean, it's just, why are these three educated black men as you know, obsessed with pancakes?
All right.
It's probably not a topic for us to deep dive, but, you know, yeah,
no,
but yes,
today.
It is stupid. So. No.
No, I was just curious, because Shahid didn't know either. And I don't think I've ever asked Kevin, but I'm just curious. So if anyone knows, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. I'm Granny Maze. I don't know what your tag is offhand. I just see you on there. So
@ChrisCalameda. My name.
Okay. Well, there you go.
@ChrisCalameda. Please hit us up if you know. And maybe, just maybe, if you were a writer or a writer's assistant around the time this was being dreamed up, and you're hearing this right now, and you actually know the real reason this became the New Day's thing, please drop us a line.
Yeah,
we'd love to get this.
If it's for marketing purposes, then they are slow on the ball. Let's go. Let's get that mix out. But anyways, no, it's just they're not as cool as they used to be. Now, I know you were saying, like, the Usos turn to face hurt them. I didn't mind that stuff today. Until the end. Like, the whole thing about how you're about to swear and they stop you, it's old. DX was doing that when they came back. It's old. So,
yeah,
those guys should know better.
And just doing it. Doing anyone else's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Unless your gimmick is that you're a complete goof. Never, ever. Just don't ever do that.
Yeah. So I have more faith in the Usos, and they should be, I mean, unless someone made them do that stuff, but it's, you know, you gotta, You have to do what you're told, I guess.
Yeah,
in
that's
their case, they don't.
I'm not blame them. I'm not blaming them for that one.
No, but I didn't like it. So, no, I didn't like that part. But I like that. I wish they would do more of that stuff. At least give you something. You know, it was goofy being in the basement or whatever of the arena with the smoke and that, because that's not really them. I don't know. I guess that'd be more for sanity. But anyways, I don't even know if it's worth getting into about sanity or not. But
Kevin and I hit this whole sanity thing pretty good last week, I think. Yeah, I mean they're just done until they decide to push Killian Dane as a single.
I like Alexander Wolf quite a bit. That guy,
he just looks weird. I've seen nothing else from him.
But see, in some cases,
and I've never been a fan of Eric Young. So,
well, no, but I think, but he fits that role pretty well. So I don't mind that. Like, but again, they don't let them talk. They let the bar talk for a little bit last week. The Usos got a little bit of talking. You know, and with Sanity, they need to talk. They're new, just like Andretti and Zelina. Or Zelina, excuse me. Let them talk a little bit. So it's like Andretti, he beats Rusev last week. He has a really good match with AJ Styles. Shocker. And then this week he's on, but doesn't get a chance to talk. Neither of them do. And she beats Lana. Damn, I'm trying to say names right. But she beats Lana. Nothing, no follow-up. And we need to get to know them. And I know that the announcers are the ones saying, well, he used to be the Playboy party, this and this, until she came along. Well, okay. What else? Like,
yeah, no. This is all moving to first, they weren't on the show at all, and now we're getting to a point where she's getting in the ring.
Yes.
When it took a year on NXT for anyone to touch her.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, no, you don't do that. No. They said, once again, it's relying on the entirety of the audience to know their NXT characters. It's what they did with a number of people, most notably Bayley, and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to you can't just have the announcers complain because it's now the commentary is so bad that people just tune it out.
Oh my god.
You have to show what these characters are.
Can we, all right. I know this has been a constant complaining show. I'm sorry. No, we praised NXT, but that, who was it? Who came out and Byron Saxton goes, "Can it be?" Or no, or is it? What the hell?
The New Day. New Day after you'd already heard Big E.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then let's just soak this in for a sec. So Big E's talking, and Byron Saxton goes, "Is it or could it be?" Well, dipshit, they're on your roster. There's a table set up next to you. That's in Green Day. That's in New Day orange. That's covered in pancakes. At least Corey Graves had the nerve to go, "How did this happen?" Like, to try and cover up the idiocy that is Byron Saxton. And I know it can be defended, but, well, they probably told him to say that. Absolutely not. That is somebody that is trying to copy Michael Cole. And because Michael Cole has that crutch, too, where it's the fucking obvious thing to do. And it's not. And I could not believe how dumb he is. I want him gone, and I want Percy Watson up here. And I am not kidding whatsoever. Because Percy Watson has gotten so much better from his first time being a commentator. Byron Saxton's only gotten worse. And he can take Coach's hand, and they can both jump out the door together, because he doesn't add anything to the commentary either. Whatever happened to David Otunga?
I don't know. I think he still works for the company. I think he still does the pay-per-view pre-show panels, but...
Hey, good work if you can get it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, no. And I still... I like Corey Graves a lot most of the time. It's still weird to me when you have that commentary team and there's no one there who was a star. It's all what I grew up on. You know, I know Booker T wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but at least he had credibility.
Oh yeah,
in the analyst role. It just feels so weird to me to not have an announce crew where the color man wasn't a major star, and it does lose something.
Yeah, I guess so. I actually hadn't thought of that. I just knew they were bad, and I mean, but also it's like kind of with the Booker T thing, that being a star doesn't make you a good announcer either.
Right? No, that doesn't either. No.
I
can't believe it's been over a year, well over a year now, and they haven't found somebody to take over that spot that Corey Graves is in.
Oh, on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Or Raw, either one.
I mean, I know we've kind of gotten away from Raw versus SmackDown being a thing, and
yeah,
you know, Shane and Stephanie are barely on TV. I don't know if Shane's ever coming back at this point.
They didn't even mention him.
They don't mention him. No, they don't mention him at all. So yeah, that'll be an interesting thing going forward. But of course, when we get to Survivor Series, it'll be all about the intense Raw rivalry between Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Which they did pull out of their ass last year and make that have a big time feel.
Yeah. Okay.
But go ahead.
We got to wrap up here in a little bit. And there's something I thought about this last night, and I'll be curious about your opinion because I forgot to bring it up with anybody else as well. So, Jinder Mahal was champion for 200 and something days, like a ridiculous amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were told that, you know, he's a legit guy, he's a draw, he's this. And now he's doing this peaceful warrior thing. And he's a joke again. I don't know how to feel about that. Because we had to sit through so many matches, so many main events, so many things with him that we were told he's legitimate, he's legit, he's real. And it's just now he's following back down to being barely above 3MB. Yes, he's in the ring with bigger guys, I understand that. But jeez. I don't know how to feel about that. So I need someone to sway me one way or the other so I can actually stop thinking about this.
No, it's really bad. No, I don't think that you're on the right track there. They went through that all of that crap last year. All of it. All those bad main events. All of it. And now he's a joke again. I mean, it's not even that, just that he's in the mid card, which that was good. That was pretty much destined to happen. It's that he's now playing a joke character.
Yeah.
They've got Sameel Singh dressed like an idiot. Or I shouldn't say that. Because it's, you know, traditional garb, but it's part of this ensemble that's a now what was supposed to be a proud Indian character is now the stereotype gimmick.
Yeah. I see him falling back down.
All right. Yeah. We're falling back on that. Once again, of course, they never should have done it in the first place last year on SmackDown. I mean. There's no argument for that at this point. But once again, I come from the era where no one ever went down the card to being at an intercontinental level. No one after they lost. Now, they may have been on their way out of the company after they lost to Hogan. But no one ever went so down the card that they fought for the Intercontinental Championship. And now we've got Jinder Mahal. He's already gone down to the secondary title level from the world title level. And now he's even lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
It just I hate it when talent, you know, falls from the main event scene, because I feel like you go up, but you shouldn't fall all the way down. At that point, I guess that's a byproduct of there just not being any other viable promotions, I guess. Because people then, at that point, after they've had their run on top, and, you know, instead of, you know, letting yourself fall down, you could leave and go somewhere. So, you know, it's maybe there's a little difference in, you know, maybe you can go from the main events down to the mid-card titles, but it still feels like a really sharp fall.
Yeah, and that seems to be commonplace now, though. Once you're done at the top, like, look at Seth Rollins, Intercontinental Champion. Dean Ambrose, Intercontinental Champion. It's been Intercontinental guy or U.S. title guy after you're done.
And even Roman Reigns has won both.
Yes.
Yeah.
But even that stuff,
in between WrestleMania main events,
being on top too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I mean, and in fairness, both of those titles have been presented better than they have in years. But even in those days when Macho Man was the Intercontinental Champion. And the Intercontinental title was probably at its peak of being able to headline, you know, major arena shows. Mm-hmm. Hogan's title was always bigger, but no one ever went down from fighting Hogan to fighting, you know, fighting for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
And once again, as I said, that's a byproduct of there not being any competition, and everyone can't be on top at the same time, and all that. And I get that, but so. You know, and so maybe it's okay that, you know, Seth Rollins is fighting for the Intercontinental title right now. Maybe it's, you know, and, you know, but when you start falling, even when you were in the main events, and you start falling in the modern comparison, when you're in the main events,
mm-hmm.
then you fall to the secondary title level, and then there's a level even below that where you're not even sniffing championships. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, and. But it would almost be. I would almost want it to be, all right. You've come so far. Like, have a plan. Like, all right, because they don't do trades with these general managers or anything, drafts, whatever. It would just be nice to be like, all right, I'm going over here, and yeah, do the honors on the way out, whatever. But. Do something, but I mean, Jinder can't go back to SmackDown. Not until they get some stuff done. So, I don't know. It's such a weird time for WWE anyways. I'm not that high on it. I'm glad I'm not going to WrestleMania next year. And I know they've got plenty of time to sway me, whatever else, but I just, you know, there's nothing. So, yeah, just about an hour complaining, so this one will go over well. But, well, I guess we shouldn't have started off with death. It kind of set the tone for everything, huh?
Yeah. A little bit of a downer episode, but you know what? At least it was an honest episode. For everything we do here, at least we're not sugarcoating anything. We're not aligned with any larger wrestling podcast network. We're just a bunch of guys with our opinions. We say the truth. We hope there's people listening. We hope that there's more people listening every week. But, you know, we do this to kind of vent.
Yeah, and if not, oh well. But if you are on a major podcast network, we're listening.
Yes.
So,
yes.
All right, no problem.
We're accepting
with that.
We are accepting offers, and yes. and we're, it's not a very expensive offer either.
Speak for yourself. I got bills. Oh. Well, on that note, thanks for listening, guys. Kevin might be back next week. If not, it'll be the two of us, or maybe Shahid. And I don't know. I'm seeing Mission Impossible tomorrow, so I don't know when we're doing rewatch stuff this week. That's kind of the point we wanted to get to. It's my fault.
I think Shahid's already watched that movie twice, maybe.
He's seen it, yeah. He keeps messaging me about it, and I just keep ignoring him. And he's talking about something else because, you know, I don't want stuff to get ruined for me. So, yeah, so there's that. I don't know what Kevin's got planned. He's been in and out with his house stuff, so I'm going to get out of here. Thanks for listening. Stunk Randy on social media. We watch stuff. Stunk Randy Audio, OPA, all that stuff on your podcast platform. Just look for Stunk Granny. It'll all go under the same banner, and you can find it all there. I'm Granny Maze on Twitter. I use it every once in a while. I need to use it more, but then Twitter's just kind of people who want to talk to themselves. Anyways, I'm out. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll let Chris take us out.
All right. I'm at Chris Calamita on Twitter. Rate and review us on iTunes, and I'm fairly certain I will be here next week.